Darren, you do. You are part of the Lakes Church.
Yes, I am.
Who are putting on our voyage this week. How are you involved at the Lakes Church?
A couple of different ways. Occasionally they wheel me out to preach. Not that often these days. My main role, I suppose, is supporting the leaders of our growth groups, our small groups. So we have about 40 groups, meet at different times and places, fantastic places for people to be in good times and bad. And I write some studies that the leaders can use and help train the leaders.
Fantastic. And it is great that you're here with us today. As Xanthi said, sailors do love a story, and you have a story to tell
us. I have a cracker.
All right. Well, we're going to hand over to you another round of applause for First Mate Darren Box. Thank you, Darren.
Thank you. There is something about the untamed sea that awakens fear deep within us. Many years ago, when I could still walk, I remember going for a ramble along the water's edge. There was a group of us. We were going from one beach to another and scrambling over big rocks around the coastline. We came to this crease in the shoreline. It was just 4 or 5 metres across, but it ran inland for maybe 20 metres, and the walls in there were quite steep. The water was only ankle deep, and so we splashed across and kept going. Eventually, we turned around and arrived on the other side at that same point about half an hour later. We hadn't realised that the tide had been coming in all that time. And now the waves were crashing into that inlet and rushing out again. Spray was flying everywhere, and we couldn't see how deep the channel was anymore. Somehow we got across, but I remember being absolutely terrified, and with good reason. I was so small compared to the relentless power of the sea. Many of you, I know, will have your own stories of encountering the untamed sea, and you will know that primal fear that takes over. We like to think of ourselves as bulletproof, but we're really not. And it's good for us to have that mask stripped away every now and then. This morning, I want to share with you a short story from the Bible about Jesus. This happened soon after Jesus had started teaching publicly. He'd become a bit of a local celebrity. The story is there on your tables, so you might like to read along if you would like to. Jesus had 12 men who were so impressed with him that they'd become his disciples. Let me read this for you. It comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Well, the first thing I noticed here is the down-to-earth reality of this scene. There are a number of details here that just have the ring of truth about them. Take that image of Jesus asleep on a cushion in the stern of the boat. If you read this story in its context, you discover that Jesus has been incredibly busy. Hordes of people from near and far have been crowding Jesus because of his teaching and his miracles, been healing people. It got so intense that Jesus wasn't even able to take a meal break. At the end of another long day, Jesus is exhausted. Finally, they leave the crowd behind and he just falls into a deep sleep. Jesus is really human. Believably down to earth human. Or the storm. That's what happens in the real world. How many times did Sue say it? It's true, isn't it? You sail off into a beautiful sunset. You take a deep breath and think, finally, I can have a rest. And then a storm rolls out of nowhere. Life's like that, isn't it? The hits keep on coming. Or don't you love the reaction of the disciples? Some of these guys are tough fishermen, and they were locals. They knew the lake like the back of their hand. But they are terrified in the grip of that storm. They knew the waves were not mucking around that night. They woke Jesus up and they said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They're saying, "Help." And at the same time, they're looking for someone to blame. "It's your fault, Jesus. You don't care if we die." And isn't that exactly what people are like when we're overwhelmed with fear? Help. And at the same time, who's to blame for this disaster? The government. Donald Trump. God. This is just one small story. The rest of the Gospels are the same. They read like eyewitness accounts of real people encountering challenges in the real world and reacting in really believable ways. Some of you might recognise the name Tony Moffat. For many years, he was a scriptwriter for some of our most popular TV dramas. He was also a hardline atheist until he was about 37. Here's a quote from him. "A combination of circumstances made me wonder about Jesus. Was he who he said he was? But I thought, I really do not need this Jesus thing in my life. So I did what I do on any writing job. Check the sources. Check the facts. As it happened, I had a copy of the source documents at hand. It was a Gideon Bible I'd stolen from a motel in Brisbane a year before. I skipped the Old Testament and started to read the New. What I found there horrified me. From my background, I knew I was reading fact. I know how fiction is made, and the New Testament is not fiction, nor myth, nor legend, but fact." And eventually, Tony Moffat became a Christian. Now, not everyone who reads the Bible does become a Christian. Not everyone who met Jesus in the flesh became his disciple. Some people hated him. But this is an important starting point for us in our time. Jesus is not a myth or a legend or a fiction. He is real. And each of us needs to decide what to do with the real Jesus. The second thing that struck me in this passage, perhaps the most obvious thing, is that Jesus is terrifyingly powerful. I'm not sure what the disciples were expecting when they woke Jesus up, but you get the feeling that they weren't expecting what happened. Verse 39, "He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down and it was completely calm." One minute, the wind is howling, timbers straining, frightened, yelling. Next moment, a deafening silence. One moment, it's chaos and confusion, big men being thrown about like rag dolls. Next moment, the boat is gently rocking on a pond. Every eye is glued on Jesus, every mouth hanging open in shock. They were rightly afraid that the storm was going to swallow them up. And then they were safe and even more afraid of the man who stood there in the boat with them. Verse 41, they were terrified and they asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." It's a bit like being there to see a good friend take down a whole cell of terrorists. And suddenly you realize that your friend, who you thought you knew, is some kind of highly trained super agent, proficient in dozens of weapons, deadly in half a dozen martial arts, faster, stronger, smarter than you thought possible. It's like that, but more so. Who is this? It's a really good question. This is the living God come to dwell on earth, clothed with flesh. This is the mighty Lord of creation. The wind and the waves obey Jesus because they recognize his voice. This is the one who called them into being in the first place. And they will lie down at a word from him. This is man as he was meant to be, not cowering before an out-of-control world, but ruling over creation for the good of all. Well might the disciples be terrified. This is King Jesus unveiled. And it seems that that shift of gears from down-to-earth human to unmasked Lord of creation, it was tough for the disciples to get their heads around. You might be finding it hard to wrap your head around it all. It was just one of many, many extraordinary things that Jesus did. This is what the eyewitnesses say happened. The disciples were not gullible men, but they could not deny what was happening right in front of them. Their lives were transformed by Jesus. Many of them went on to suffer and die for these claims about Jesus that they would not deny. Jesus is terrifyingly powerful. But thirdly, from this little story, it's crystal clear that Jesus cares. That's the disciples' question. Teacher, don't you care? By the end of the story, we know for sure, yes, he does care. He deals with the danger. He rescues them from drowning. He doesn't want them to be afraid. This is really the big issue, isn't it? Does Jesus care? See, it's all very well for him to be stupendously powerful, to have the primal forces of nature wrapped around his little finger. But how is he going to use that power? Is he friend or foe? Is he going to be just like everyone else, looking after number one? Or does he really care? This is early days for the disciples, so it's understandable that they're not quite sure yet. In the eventful years that followed, they would see much more. Miraculous healings, thousands of people fed with one little boy's lunch, demons cast out, inspired teaching. Yes, Jesus cared. Ultimately, Jesus would prove his love by laying down his life as a sacrifice for sin. He who was beyond powerful humbled himself to take the punishment that sinners deserve. Jesus cares. But death could not hold him. On the third day, Jesus triumphed over even death. And his amazed disciples again saw him unveiled, the risen, glorified King who will rule the world forever. The response that Jesus is looking for is there in verse 40. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" He wanted them to stop freaking out and to trust him. It did not make sense for them to be frightened when they were with Jesus. He cared for them, and he could easily overcome every threat they would ever face. Do you know Jesus is the same today? He lives still as the risen King. He cares. He has promised to rescue his people from every threat we will ever face, even death, even the judgment of God beyond death. And he wants every person on the planet to trust him so that we don't need to be afraid. I know that many of us here this morning do trust Jesus and already experience that comfort and joy that trusting Jesus brings. But I don't want to assume anything. Perhaps you would like to find out more about this Jesus. Our church runs a 5-session introduction to Jesus called Simply Christianity. It's basically a chance to read through one of these gospel accounts of Jesus' life with a bunch of others, ask questions, listen in. We even throw in a meal for free each week. And the next course begins in about a fortnight on the 22nd of January. If you would like an invitation to that course, just let us know that you're interested. Fill in your details here on this response slip that's there on your table. Don't die wondering, friends. I'm going to hand back to First Mate Xanthi.